Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're talking all things oil today. And Eric Nuttall is our guest partner, senior portfolio manager for Nine Point Partners, and is, I think, presenting a very compelling case for what's happening in the oil and gas markets globally, not just here in Canada and locally in Alberta.
Yeah, I think there's the one side of the equation is the opportunity.
Right.
Now, with every piece of opportunity in the markets, regardless of industry, regardless of investment type, there's a risk associated to it. And so we need to understand what the risk is for that opportunity. And let's kind of get right into it. Let's have that conversation. So Eric, when we look at all the opportunity that you've outlaid in the last piece, let's talk about the risks that are out there and what should investors expect as that kind of volatility or risk that as they see the opportunity come to their portfolios?
Yeah, it's a very fair and reasonable question. And so when you think short term, what we have is a U.S. president suffering from profoundly low approval ratings, where inflation is the biggest concern. And the driver of that, one of them, is gasoline prices. And so I think there's a rising risk of a deal struck between the United States and Iran, which could release realistically 600,000 to 700,000 barrels per day of incremental supply. You can see OPEC kind of starting to make accommodations already for that. And I think it's a very easily absorbable amount. But for energy, you know, there's the physical demand for oil, which is the largest commodity in the world, but then there's the financial demand for oil, the financial market for oil, which is over 30 times bigger. And so the financial demand for oil can go down on a day on headline risk, even though the physical demand hasn't gone down. So you just, as an energy investor, it's annoying at times because oil will sell off and you're trying to explain it and it's very difficult. You can have like a fear-inducing headline. And so, you know, maybe an Iranian agreement in the next few weeks sees oil sell off very temporarily. I think given how underowned this sector is and valuations with, you know, a stock trading discounting $58, you know, there's a large cap I was looking at this morning, Canadian Oil Sands large cap, discounting $58. So if we sell off from 92 to 85, let's say, is the stock a sell? Like there's so much margin of safety given how depressed valuations are today, which is crazy, right? Like my fund was up 186% last year. I'm up 28 or so this year. You'd be thinking the sector's overvalued. But it's only because stocks got so annihilated in the early part of 2020 that so much of the performance is just a healing process from the lows that these stocks saw. So I would say, you know, my canned answer for a long time was, well, a vaccine resistant strain that sets us all back into our homes yet again, the economy shuts down. Outside of that, I would view, you know, maybe another SPR release, even though that mattered for like a whole week. I think the markets is seeing through that. An Iranian deal, I think, is increasingly likely given the pressures that the Biden administration is under. When you think about demand, there's really no short-term risks in my mind outside of, you know, a vaccine-resistant strain because we're back to pre-COVID levels. And yet the jet fuel market for leisure travel remains very weak, and that should be improving in the coming months. You're like, well, here we are in February. We're at the weakest period seasonally of demand, weakest part of the year, and we're already at $92. And we haven't spoken about the biggest bullish catalyst for this sector in generations will be the exhaustion of OPEC spare capacity, which seems very likely to me by the end of this year. So we haven't even gotten there, and we're already at 92. And so it's reasonable, and I know we've all been traumatized from the sector, which has been horrifically challenging and volatile and soul-sucking for certain periods. But I there's a line I've kind of tagged, which is just dare to dream, because the disruptive influence of U.S. shale is largely over. I'm still expecting growth, but not to exceed global demand growth. And therefore, if you've removed that potential risk, outside of, you know, the COVID aspect, it's difficult to put your finger on a reasonable risk to the bullish thesis, because it revolves around what got us into this situation, this oil supply crisis, which the world is in and will increasingly be in. It wasn't an overnight phenomenon. It's been a multi-year trend of insufficient investment, ESG pressures, the utilization of high-graded inventories in U.S. shale companies, OPEC not being able to invest in productive capacity for 6-7 years as they've had to keep social spending going. So it's not, it's been a very, very long time in the making to get us here. And therefore, I think the extent of the bull market that we're in is going to be equally as long, at minimum, I think, 5 to 6 years.
When you look at the opportunities in the energy market, where are you seeing the best opportunity? You talked about free cash flow. You've talked about the intrinsic value that's not even being realized by the market. Is it in the large companies, in the big ones that we see in the United States, Canada, parts of Europe, or are we talking small, mid-size in Alberta? Like, where's the opportunity? Because you're more active. Most people are talking about indexes and just the market as a whole generically, but there's a reason why you've outperformed. And part of that is your selection of securities. Where's the opportunity from this point going forward?
Yeah, so we can invest anywhere in the world. And what we find is we want to be invested in Canada because our stocks are the cheapest out of any geographical jurisdiction I can find. We have positive rate of change through building out 1 million barrels per day of new pipeline capacity, you know, with Line 3 and then TMX at some point next year. So the very reason why energy investors have avoided us has now or will soon be nullified. So I want to be Canadian, I want to be oily, and I do want to be small because this market, many of my peers, my competitors, no longer exist. They converted into ESG funds, they left energy, went into technology because it just was too painful and they couldn't take it anymore. And so it's been a kind of a game of last man standing, and it's really, it's myself and one other competitor whom I view. So the market is incredibly inefficient. And by that I mean there is no dispersion, major dispersion valuations between what I would call junk and what I would call quality. There's no one doing the work to evaluate management quality, inventory depth, balance sheet strength, ability and willingness to return capital in the form of dividends, buybacks, etc. Everything's being priced, generally speaking, in a very, very tight band. That's idiotic, right? Like, junk should not be trading the same as quality, but that's where we are because of inefficiencies. And so as a stock picker, a guy who can easily model companies, I'm doing this for long enough, I know the teams, I think I can identify catalysts to get a re-rating in valuations, etc. It's a target-rich environment to be able to continue, I think, to outperform the index, which is essentially the large caps. And, you know, some of them, without getting specific, are suffering from some chronic underperformance because of operational issues. And so that's where I want to be. I want to be Canada. I want to be oily. I want to be small. And I want to be in the companies that either are or will soon be returning capital in the form of meaningful share buybacks and dividends, because that is the curative to the apathy that the generalist investor is still stuck in. They're just stuck in this catatonic state of not being able to recognize how unbelievably mispriced these stocks are. And what triggers them out of that will be massive dividends. And I think the outlook for dividend and dividend increases over the next several years is phenomenal.
When you look at the opportunities of growth in these companies, is it just going to be paying out distribution, or will they be expanding? And that's coming from people who are watching and listening to you that are worried about the economics in Alberta, for example. Will they be hiring again? Will they be actually looking at more and more people? And then look at this from a provincial royalty perspective. Is there going to be more revenue coming into the province because of what's going on with this opportunity?
I think the growth outlook is challenged over the next couple of years. And the answer to that really depends on how quickly the re-rating occurs. Because I manage the Ninepoint Energy Fund, the biggest energy fund in the country now. And we manage just over $1.4 billion today. And so my conversation with my holdings, of which we're, you know, sizable owners of, is you cannot justify growth today given the valuation of your stock. If you're trading at 2.5 times, 2.3 times cash flow at $80 oil, so $12 lower than where we are today, you cannot justify spending a single dollar above which that's needed to keep production flat. What you should be doing is maximizing free cash flow and then implementing very meaningful buybacks as a way to, again, get a re-rating closer back to historical levels. You know, I think multiples can double from here. Potentially even more as we enter into a real bull market and it brings in the meaningful amounts of generalist money. And so I think the outlook in terms of employment, production growth is muted for the next little while, only because energy stocks remain severely discounted and the owners of the businesses, the shareholders, are saying you can't justify growth capital right now. There's the odd exception to that, but generally speaking for the sector, global energy investors, not just Canadian, global, want one thing and one thing only. They want returns. They want to get paid. They want to get paid now for, you know, the heartache that we've all experienced for many, many years.
Okay. Well, that sounds, that sounds like a generational opportunity. Eric, thank you very much. Your feedback is, I think, both welcome and important, particularly in our city and our province, and it actually sounds optimistic, and it'll be fun for people to hear that message. Also a good opportunity for investors. And thank you for all the great work you've done. You're part of our portfolio, full transparency on that, and you've been a meaningful contributor to it, so we appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, we've been joined by Eric Nettle, partner, senior portfolio manager, Nine Point Partners, and talking about all things oil there. But we've got a bigger topic to talk about coming up, and that is transitioning into retirement and living in retirement and that lifestyle that you want to live.
Yeah, there's a big opportunity. And we're going to talk about how you bulletproof your retirement as you go through this transition on Tuesday, February 22nd, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
What can you learn from your parents about retirement? Faisal and I have some very specific lessons we want to share with you. Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.